fiction. It's not a regular kind of science fiction. It's by Douglas Adams, who is a very strange and very funny writer. He has written a series of books, and one of them is called Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe. Some of the quotes in his books are just, as I say, they're just fabulous. He says in that book, there is an art, or rather a knack, to flying. The knack lies in learning how to throw yourself at the ground and miss. So he's telling us, we could fly if we could just figure out how to throw ourselves at the ground and miss. As funny as the quote is, I think it has a lot of truth in it in terms of how we live in this world. We are divine beings, but we live in, excuse me, in mortal bodies, in a mortal world, and we're made to fly, but we have to live here on Earth. We continually use the things of Earth to define us, throwing ourselves at the ground. And yet we hope to be with God. We want to fly. It is this paradox, this battle, this challenge that comes to us in much of Scripture, and especially in the gospel reading for today. I don't know about you, but there's a moment here in this gospel passage that causes me to draw my breath in sharply and just almost kind of duck. When James and John say to Jesus, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." I always wince when I hear that demand. But then I think, aren't they saying what everyone else there was thinking to some degree? Aren't they saying what everyone here is thinking to some degree? If God loves us and we ask for good and healthy and loving spiritual things, why wouldn't God give us whatever we want? This gospel reading feels to me like one of those conversations where we all talk around the topic and no one will speak the obvious. We all want God to do what we want. We want to put ourselves in alignment with God's will. But then we also struggle through this world, and we need God to help us. We usually don't declare it quite as abruptly as James and John did. It feels downright embarrassing to me to hear this demand, especially right after Jesus talks about his impending death. And so we hear it as modern-day Christians. We laugh and we shudder, even though sometimes we make very similar requests, albeit in softer and more acceptable language. If we're honest, we too would like to be part of God's inner circle. We'd like to be seated right next to the power. We want many things that we would never admit out loud, especially in church. The one prayer we use more than any says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." We say those words, but don't we often echo James and John saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." We're praying, "My will be done." Ironically, we never find what we truly want, which is agape love, by trying to meet that need with romantic love, status, money, possessions, accomplishment, or any of the other pursuits that we are involved in our lives. Now, most of the sources of commentary about this passage focus on the unacceptability of the request, but I think it's more important to focus on Jesus' response. Oddly, Jesus doesn't chastise James and John for their arrogant statement, at least not by this account. Instead, he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus forgives this foolish request, asking simply and patiently what we truly want. When we make our prayer requests of God, whether those requests are ridiculous or reasonable, Jesus responds by asking what we truly want, who we truly want to be. Can we say exactly what we hope for in this life? Or are we flailing around hoping to find some deeper meaning and throwing ourselves at the ground? If we could sift through all of our wishes and desires, how would we answer Jesus? What do we want Jesus to do for us? We want to be great. But Jesus tells us the greatest must be servant of all. We want to be happy, but Jesus tells us we save our lives by being willing to lose them. Truly to find peace, to find a way to fly while living in this mortal space and time, we have to know what we want. If we say greatness or significance or safety or power, we're throwing ourselves at the ground with no hope of missing. We will dash ourselves to pieces because we never truly wanted greatness or significance or safety or power. We want to know that we are deeply and personally loved. If you have taken the DOC program offered here and at many other churches, you've learned that all of our efforts for greatness and happiness and peace and security can all be distilled down into that one need for agape or unconditional love. We all need to know that we are deeply loved for ourselves, not in a generic way, but in a particular way. And everything we do in this life is a quest for that unconditional love. We desperately want to fly, so we keep throwing ourselves at the ground, hoping to miss. We find that agape love when we put God at the center of our lives. When we focus on God, we realize that we have always been loved, have always mattered, have always had significance. Once life stops revolving around our egos and what we think we want, we find God, the one gift that answers all of our needs. God actually knows what we want and what we need much better than we know for ourselves, because we allow these things on the ground to get in our way, in the way of our flying. So if we trust God and remember that we are deeply loved by God, we can stop saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." So in the meantime, how do we manage spending our human days trapped in the mortal world, but knowing we are made for the divine? How can we have the courage to keep throwing ourselves at the ground, hoping to miss and find God? We have to help remind each other that we are deeply loved and valued. If we could do that, we'd no longer be driven by our fears, our need for earthly importance. We could enjoy life on earth without expecting anything in it to give us salvation. We could throw ourselves at the ground and miss. We could fly because we would find the eternal in the here and now. I think to a great degree we have forgotten what defines us. We don't know what to say exactly when Jesus responds to our extravagant demand by asking, "What do you want me to do for you?" And so I pray, "God, I don't want my prayer to be this, 'Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you.' But God, you have made us frail and frightened. You've given us free will, and we don't know how else to pray. So forgive us, God, when we say it. We have needs in this world. We have fears about what's happening to us. We have grief over what's happening to those we love. God, help us. Heal us. Help us to remember that all we've ever wanted is you, the agape love that you give us. Remind us that we don't need this world to define us. We needn't let the ground dash us to pieces. As mortal beings, we are bound to earth, but as immortal souls, we are bound for heaven. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of throwing myself at the ground and having my fragile ego dashed to pieces over and over. I want to learn to fly. So I ask Jesus, teach us how to blend the human with the divine. In other words, teach us in this earthly existence how we can throw ourselves at the ground and miss. Amen.